Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We've got two asthmatics here talking together about a poem that has to do with leukotriene inhibitors. And it's an interesting study published in the New England Journal. Just a very brief amount of background. The 5-lipoxygenase pathway was discovered a decade or two ago. It's a series of biochemical reactions in which a component of membrane phospholipids are transformed into pro-inflammatory mediators called leukotrienes. These leukotrienes possess diverse biological actions that are increasingly implicated in a whole lot of disease states, but particularly asthma. So agents that have the capacity to inhibit the synthesis or the action of leukotrienes are thought to perhaps be useful in the treatment of asthma. They are the first sort of new class of asthma medications to be introduced since the inhaled glucocorticoids were introduced, you know, many decades ago. The leukotrienes aren't new. They've been out for a decade or decade and a half. They act by binding to receptor sites, which are found on inflammatory cells. Some of these cells are neutrophils and basophils and eosinophils, but also there seem to be receptor sites on structural cells like epithelial smooth muscle cells and the like. So leukotrienes are best known for their ability to induce smooth muscle contraction and bronchoconstriction. These drugs have played only a minor role in the management of asthma. Many pulmonologists have tried them. There are some advantages in terms of compliance and how patients like them. The question is, are primary care doctors underutilizing these drugs? Would they have an advantage, a larger advantage in our clinical practice than they're currently playing? Again, I mentioned that this is a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and the question is, what is the best initial or add-on therapy for asthma in the real world of primary care? This is a randomized controlled trial. What did they find?
Yeah, it was a really interesting study because, and I think it had two real strengths. As you said, it was a pragmatic trial, which means some of the things aren't quite as pristine as you might think with a randomized trial. I mean, the physicians were able to choose the doses. Patients and physicians weren't masked or blinded. But they did do a lot of things that you would expect in a randomized trial. Randomization was done right. Concealment of allocation of groups was done properly. And they did it in the primary care setting, which I think is a real strength. It's not a referral setting. So they studied patients 12 to 80 years old who were in 53 primary care practices in the UK. And there were two studies kind of run in parallel. One was whether they got initial therapy with a leukotriene inhibitor or an inhaled steroid. And then the second one was whether they added a long-acting beta agonist or a leukotriene inhibitor on people who were still symptomatic while they were taking the inhaled steroid alone. As I said, the choice of LTI and its dose and of any of the drugs was left to the treating physician. And so they were randomized, allocation concealed, but not masked. And then in both studies, the groups were similar at the beginning. Analysis was by intention to treat, so they did all the other kind of typical RCT kind of things. At 2 years, there were no differences between those receiving leukotriene inhibitor or inhaled steroid in terms of quality of life score or any of the other asthma outcomes. So for initial therapy, similar outcomes. In the study of add-on therapy, same thing, results were similar, no clear differences. Now, there's a couple caveats there. One is that neither of the studies got to what they call the pre-specified criteria for non-inferiority, and that means that while they didn't find a difference between groups, they weren't close enough to be considered nearly identical. So while they weren't different, they weren't close enough where you could reliably say they're the same. So one still may be a little better, but, you know, in this big a study and for this long, I think it's pretty good that they were close. Now, there were also a lot of crossovers, and crossovers were pretty common among initial therapy. About 20 to 30% went from one drug to the other. And interestingly, in the add-on study, these are folks who are on an inhaled steroid, and then they were randomized to either a leukotriene inhibitor or a long-acting beta agonist. There were about a quarter of those who were initially assigned to a leukotriene inhibitor went over to the beta agonist, but nobody went over the other direction. So there was a kind of a one-way migration away from leukotriene inhibitors in that situation, which kind of makes sense because leukotriene inhibitors and the steroids are both anti-inflammatory in a way. They attack different, you know, pathways and targets, but they're both anti-inflammatory. So it kind of makes sense that if one anti-inflammatory isn't doing it, adding a second one isn't as helpful as trying a different mechanism or attacking a different mechanism with the long-acting beta agonist. So I think the bottom line for me with this study was that while the inhaled steroids probably are the preferred agent and probably are somewhat more effective and more likely to be effective, that there's still a role. And I think if someone isn't tolerating or isn't doing well or isn't adherent with the steroids, you know, it's certainly worth trying a leukotriene inhibitor, you know, absolutely. And, we were talking about this earlier. I have mild intermittent asthma, kind of mild intermittent asthma, and I have nighttime symptoms, I guess, most nights. And the leukotriene inhibitor has been great. I haven't used an inhaler in a long time. I think when I went cross-country skiing this winter and I used one, whereas I used to have to use them all the time. And I could never bring myself to remember or want to take a daily steroid, once or twice a day. So for me, it's been great, but not for everybody. I think you had just the opposite experience. And I think, you know, you really have to work with your patients, see what they're willing to take, what they can take, what they want to take. But know that, you know, both of these appear to be reasonable options for managing asthma and primary care. But that once you've started that steroid, you're more likely to, if you have to add something else, to do better with the long-acting beta agonist. The caveat there is there have been some increased mortality with long-term use of those.
Right, right. You know, it is, I guess the good thing is that the leukotrienes are worth trying. You know, while they don't work as well for me as they do for you, they certainly are not associated with any long-term side effects or organ-specific symptoms and things. So it's probably worth a try, and I think the study gives us some new impetus to try that. I guess there are just a couple of these leukotrienes on the market, right? Any evidence that one is any better than the other?
No, not that I'm aware of. I think it's also just nice to see a little bit different kind of trial, one in a designed in a very pragmatic way, one that probably more closely reflects real practice and especially real primary care practice. And so that's a good thing to see, and hopefully we'll see more of those kind of studies.
Great. We'll talk with you again next week. Thanks, Mark.
All right, see you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.